Hello and welcome to the Torah Simcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Aviva Orlean and today we will be studying Shmuel Bey's Perek Yud, the 10th chapter. Perek Yud begins with David's attempt at a good faith gesture to Hanun, the king of Ammon. Hanun's father, Nachash, the previous king, had died, and David sends a delegation to pay condolences on behalf of David. David wants to repay the chesed that Nachash's father had done with him. The nature of this favor, according to the Medrash, as cited by Rashi, is that Nachash had given David's brother Elihu refuge after he had fled Moab when the rest of David's entire family was killed by the king of Moab. Now, it's noteworthy that in the last perek, we discussed how David wanted to do chesed with Mephibosheth. Here, David wants to do chesed with Ammon because of the chesed that his father did with him. We had also read that David's kingdom is suffused with mishpat and tzedakah, tzedakah implying chesed. So here we see again, David is clearly very much focused on chesed, and certainly as the great-grandson of Rus, this should not come as any surprise to us. However, things don't turn out as he would have liked. David's good intentions turned very ugly as Hanun's inner circle was highly suspicious of David's motives for sending this delegation. They suspected that it was a ruse and that they were sent to spy on them as a preparation for a war against their nation. Here as well, Rashi, quoting the Medrash, has these officials saying incredulously, "Their Torah forbids the Jews to make any peace overtures to Ammon and Moab." In Parshas Kisetze, we have the prohibition, "Lo sidrosh shlomam v'tovosam." We cannot make any peace treaties with the nations of Ammon and Moab. Said these officials, why knowingly ignore this commandment? David would never do this. It must be, therefore, that his overtures are not sincere and he is looking to wage war against us. So Hanun accepts this analysis and sends this delegation on their way, but not before completely humiliating them by cutting off half their beards and cutting off their clothing until their midsections, meaning that they were totally exposed from the waist down. Word gets to David about the failure of this mission and the humiliation of his delegation, and he sends another group of officials to these men and told them to stay in Yericho until their beards grew back. The Radak points out that they could not shave off the other half of their beards because it was absolutely not accepted for Jews at that point to be clean-shaven. So the delegation had to wait until their beards grew back to return back to their homes. The Medrash implicates David in this debacle and criticizes David for making peace overtures in the first place, especially considering the prohibition to do so. David HaMelech did have calculations as to why this was acceptable. It wasn't warfare, it wasn't a direct peace treaty, but the Medrash says, "Al tehi tzadik harbe," quoting a quote from Koheles, "Don't try to be a greater tzaddik than necessary, especially if while doing so you neglect the commandments of the Torah. Because in the end, says the Medrash, you will suffer humiliation," which we see David did indeed, and the delegation, of course. Ammon was now very, very nervous about David's reaction to this provocation. And they are nervous that David will retaliate because of their humiliation of his delegation. And therefore, the king of Ammon prepares for a preemptive strike. Ammon did not have a strong army themselves, and therefore they had to hire mercenaries from the surrounding areas. And those nations were Aram Tsova and Aram Rehov and Melech Ma'acha and Ish Tov. Altogether, we're talking about 33,000 men that Ammon hired out. Now, if you recall, in Parakhes, we did come across Aram Tsova. Those were one of the nations that David had defeated. He had disabled their horses and took their spoils. They were not completely subservient to them like some of the other nations were, but this is Aram Tsova, and this is one of the nations that came to the aid of Ammon. They were hired mercenaries. So Ammon staged their forces at the gates to the entrance of their cities because they were not secure in their ability to fight the Jewish army. And they placed the hired mercenaries out in the field. So now Yoav had two fronts to fight, and therefore he divided his army into two. Yoav and the more skilled soldiers were to combat Aram out in the field, And then he sent Avishai, his brother, with his forces to combat Ammon by the gates of the city. And he instructed Avishai that if his forces were not able to take over Aram, then Avishai and his forces should come and help him. And alternatively, at the second front, if Avishai could not overpower Ammon, Yoav would go and come to the aid of Avishai. Yoav also gives them a pep talk before they go out to war. Pasuk Yud Beis, the 12th pasuk. Chazak v'nischazek ba'an ameinu uva'an arei Elokeinu. Be strong and let's be strong together on behalf of our nation and on behalf of the cities of our God. This is the Jewish battle cry, not just for warfare, but for any challenges that we may face. V'Hashem ya'aseh ha'tov be'enav, and Hashem will do what is just in his eyes. Chazak, use the strength that God gave you to your fullest and prepare and exert any effort and use any strategy that you have accordingly. V'nischazek, and we should be strengthened and we should feel empowered by the knowledge that God is in control at the end of the day. Bi'ad ameinu uva'ad arei Elokeinu. Yoav is telling the people, do not forget the purpose of this battle. Ba'ad ameinu, it's for the purpose of our nation and for the purpose of the cities of our God. At the end of the day, the purpose of attempting to defeat the enemy is so that we can serve God by subduing the enemies, those enemies that attempt to eradicate the Jewish presence. Yoav then confronted Aram, and Aram retreated, which then caused Ammon to retreat into their cities as well, and they barricaded themselves within. Yoav then returns to Yerushalayim. However, Aram, even though they retreated, this did not stop them. This actually emboldened them to try again to battle the Jewish army. And Hadadezer, the king of Tzova, who had already been beaten before, as we said, in Perek Ches, called in more reinforcements from the other side of the Euphrates. So we're talking about this huge army against the Jewish people, against David's army. They came to Chelem and brought in a mighty warrior by the name of Shovach to lead this army, who they felt would be the game changer for this alliance. David got word of this, and he went to war and did a preemptive attack, and he defeated the army in a huge and sweeping victory. Hadadezer saw that they were defeated, and they became vassals of David HaMelech's kingdom. The days of aligning themselves with Ammon were over, and they would no longer be a threat to Bnei Yisrael. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.